Okay, let's turn to Romans in the 6th chapter. We'll be continuing in the chapter 3, or verses 3 through 10 in chapter 6. We've gone through two particular parts of it. We began reading the 6th chapter of Romans. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" There's those that questioned and those that would jump on because grace, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. They figured that they could just sin all they wanted to and they'd have all the grace they need to cover those sins. And certainly we realize that's not true, and Paul knew that wasn't true. And he knew that if they were standing there in front of him, they would be asking that question. You got to remember this is a letter that he wrote. But he knew that would rise up, so he addresses that. And this is probably some of the most important teaching to us as believers to understand what it is to be a child of the living God. And then to see why we're like that. Why God made us that way. And it's just a simple, as going down, reading the scriptures and, looking into them just a little bit. And that's what we'll do this morning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So that's Paul's argument. He puts that there, and now he's going to answer that argument there all the way through. Or, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over us. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what Paul has done in this particular passage of scriptures has told us why we can be faithful to the end, why all that's possible. And it was a process that Christ went through, and because Christ went through that process, we being in him have also gone through that process, and we receive the benefit of that. It enables us to keep from going back to our old man. As far as God's concerned, that door is shut. We'll never go back there. If we're true believers, we will never go back to being the old man, the old sinner that we once were. Now we have the residue of sin and the thought processes, and we wrestle with them the rest of our lives, but we're not going to go back to what we used to be. God has done away with the old man. We have a hard time reckoning that. That's why he says, likewise, ye also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Now, if we went around all day reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, how much sin do you think we'd be doing? We'd be doing none. Right. If I reckon that, if I recognized, or in this word reckon here, a lot of time was a nautical term that meant dead reckoning. It's how they kept from, you know, they want to go maybe to Europe, and they got it right by dead reckoning, and if they didn't, they'd end up in Asia somewhere. You have to dead reckon to, that's a nautical term that gets you where you're going. So it means that it keeps you in the same place, or on the same path, on the straight and narrow, we might say. So that's what we do. We reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And if we do that, there's another part of it, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the power that we find to live the Christian life, is Christ living in us. Are we living through Christ? As it said down here, that Christ died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And so as Christ has done it, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has arranged it. He has made it perfectly formed that we also shall live unto him through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's steps in here that we look at that tell us that and assure us of that. You know, we're not going to do something just because somebody stands up here and tells you to do something. We need to kind of know the facts. You know, you always need to know the facts. And so as we read the facts, which is the Bible, and it'll tell you line by line, you know, precept by precept, as the Old Testament says, precept by precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that's how we're taught. That's how we begin conforming or being conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is we're living like Christ. We're glorifying God because we're living through him. That's what that conforming does for us. So we'll talk this morning then about the second part of this, our identification in Christ's death and resurrection. If we can't identify ourselves in those things, then we don't belong to him. If we do identify ourselves and we can recognize that Christ is our Lord and we're assured that we're true believers, then there's a great blessing in this that we're going to find that enables us to do what God has created us to do, and that's to glorify his holy and his righteous name. That's what Jesus did the whole time he was on the face of the earth, from the time he was a babe born till the time he gave himself on the cross of Calvary. And he did the whole time he did that, he did everything with the glory of God in mind. I came to do the Father's will. That's glorifying God. And that's what we're created to do too. So he didn't just save us to heaven and make us all safe and sound. There's more to it than that. He says that we're his children now. And when we're the children of God, that's something special. And he wants us to know now just how special it is. And this is what Christ went through to make us those special children. I think as we understand that, the depths of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, it moves us, what, to holiness. That's what it does to me. Or it doesn't move us to sin, it moves us further away from sin. What we do, we begin being more mindful of it. We begin thinking about the deeper things of God. We want to know more about this wonderful God who has loved us unconditionally when we deserved nothing but hell itself. So we find that out as we go through this section of the Word of God. So we are identified in Christ's death and resurrection. The second principle Paul emphasizes is an extension of the first. All Christians not only are identified with Christ, but are identified with him specifically in his death and resurrection. It's one thing to say, well, I'm identified with Christ. But now Paul said, I want to go a little deeper now to tell you what that means. I want you to understand that you're specifically identified in his death and resurrection. Now, if it was just in his death, that wouldn't do us much good. Now, we got to come up. You know, you can't just lay down in the grave. That's not good enough. But we are also identified in his resurrection. Christ came forth from the grave, fulfilled the Father's will. That's what that's all about. And he did it. God said he was pleased with it. So we have that testimony from God himself that he was pleased with his dear son that came to save his people from their sin. And so now he's telling us how he did it and what that means to me and you. So we need to know. We don't need to just top level there just hear that and go about wondering, well, what does that really mean? If we do that, we're not going to grow very much. What we want to do is get down in there and say, God, what does that mean? Well, we don't even have to ask. He's already going to tell us. So we're specifically identified in his death and resurrection. That means something to us. The initial element of the second principle is that all true believers, that is every one of God's elect, every one of his children, have been baptized into Christ's death. Now that's that spiritual baptism we talk about. All of them have been spiritually baptized into Christ. So that means that we're in Christ, we're in him, literally in his body. And so what happens to Christ's body is going to happen to our body. And so we find out we've been baptized into his body. And not only that, we have been baptized into his death. That is a historical fact looking back to our union with him on the cross. We were there when Christ was crucified in the mind of God. All of his people that he was going to be, that was going to be saved or ever be saved, were there on the day of the crucifixion in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we may not have physically been there, but we were spiritually there if we are truly God's children. If we weren't there, then we're going to hell. We weren't part of that. But we have the hope that we were there. We were there when Christ was crucified. And what does that mean to us? Not only is it a historical fact, you know, they talk about history, you don't need the Bible for anything. The Bible tells us all about history, science, biology, any kind of, anything you want to talk about, the Bible has something to say about it. And that's where it comes forth from too. It's always, I got its beginnings there, whether people will have it or not. That is a historical fact looking back to our union with him on the cross and the reason we have been buried with him through baptism into death is that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Now you see how that kind of comes together. We were raised from the dead. Remember, we're identified in his death, but now that's not enough. Now we're raised from the dead. There's that resurrection. We're raised from the dead, and the reason we were raised from the dead now, because the old man's dead, we remember that. Now we're going to do something else. When God does one thing, he replaces it with another that brings glory to his name. We were dead in sin, but now he's going to raise us up that we might walk in the newness of life. A wonderful thing that God has done for us. We're new creatures in Christ. We'll talk about that briefly, but I talk about that a lot in my preaching, but it's important. But now we've been raised to walk in the newness of life because of the union that we have with Jesus Christ. We've been buried with him through baptism into death. Is that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That is a historical fact, looking back to our union with him in resurrection. We begin to understand more of the resurrection. A lot of times we hear the word resurrection, first thing we think of is Christ on the cross in his resurrection. But now we're thinking more now what that resurrection might mean to us. See, we were in that resurrection. If we were not in that resurrection, we could never walk in the newness of life. If we were not raised from the dead, we would still be dead. So the resurrection means all to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that not just be a fact that we know in the Bible, we find it to be a fact that's deep down in our hearts that we know is true, because the Bible says it's true. That truth is far too wondrous for us to fully understand. I'll agree with that. But the basic and obvious reality of it is that we died with Christ in order that we might have life through him and live like him. And you see, we're not getting away from Christ. Now we've been raised from the dead. We're walking in newness of life, but we walk a certain way. We walk Christ-like. Not like I want to walk. I have been, I'm now a slave of Christ. You'll hear a little something about that next week, I think. I'm now a slave to him. I used to be a slave to sin and Satan. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God, I no longer am bound to that death. I've been loosed from that grave, and yet I've died again and been resurrected to walk another way. And that's in the newness of life. The life that pleases God. God has designed our salvation to be that way. If we have salvation, this is what it looks like. If it doesn't look like this, then we don't have salvation. We have to really understand that. When Paul talks in the end of his letter to the church at Corinth, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. These are the things that he's talking about. Don't just lightly breeze over it. This is something that has eternal consequences with it. We're either going to heaven or hell. Do I really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is that just something that sounded good and somebody told me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And I said, yeah, I would, and I really don't understand much about it. Am I really a true believer? Do I really believe there's a God in heaven? If I'm born again, I do. Because I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide me in the way of all truth. But if I can just go along all my life and just kind of hit and miss every now and then, I would really doubt that. I would tell you like Paul tells us. You need to examine yourself, see where you're in the faith. And so, there's blessings that we can't fully comprehend and understand. Now, I think that's everything that God has to do with us. I can't fully understand, comprehend why in the world he'd ever save somebody like me. I know me. I know me. And y'all know you. And we all can say the same thing. We stand amazed that God saved us. That God saved us. Because we know what we were and how we were. And so we stand in amazement of that. And although we don't fully understand it, it says, But the basic and obvious reality of it is that we died with Christ in order, the reason we did that is a purpose to it, in order that we might have life through Him. All right, we're living our lives through Him. When people said, we need to do things for God. What can you do for God?
Nothing.
Not a thing. God don't need you. God's self-sufficient. Been self-sufficient. He was self-sufficient. I don't know how long it was before He created the world. You don't either, but He's been forever. You know, I don't know when in time that He decided in eternity to say, well, let's make the world. But He's always been self-sufficient, never needed us. Heard one preacher say one time, he created man because God was lonely. You know, trying to bring God down to man where we could, you know, get by and identify and do, continue sinning, you know, make Him like us. That's blasphemous when somebody says something like that. But He's not that way. So, He says, the basic and obvious reality is that we died with Christ in order that we might have life through Him. So it's Christ that lives through us. It's what I can do through Christ that brings the glory of God, or what He can do through me. See? All right, we realize that part and live like Him. We're to live Christ-like, or we're to be Christians. That's another way of saying that we're Christ-like. That's a name that's been given to us. And again, Paul emphasizes not so much the immortality, but the impossibility. This is wonderful. Now, this is the thing. But the impossibility of continuing to live the way we did before we were saved. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
It's a marvelous, marvelous thing that God has done for us. By trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were, by tremendous divine miracle, taken back 2,000 years, as it were, and made to participate in our Savior's death and to be buried with Him, burial being the proof of death. They wouldn't have put Him in a grave if they didn't think He was dead. So He was dead. The purpose of that divine act of bringing us through death, which paid the penalty for our sin, that's the reason He had to die, and resurrection with Christ, was to enable us henceforth to walk in newness of life. That's what that was all about. It was all about the glory of God, all about giving Him glory. But there was a fallout to it that was very beneficial to us as His children. He has equipped us. He's equipped you. As a man, as a woman, to fulfill what He's called you to do here on the face of the earth. Whatever gifts He's given you, whatever calling you've been called to do, God will provide whatever it needs to fulfill that, to make that like it should be, so it can glorify Him the best it can, even realizing it's still sprinkled with our little sinfulness. God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, overlooks that when we're serving Him in that sense. So, the burial being proof of the death, the purpose of that divine act of bringing us through death, which paid the penalty for our sin, and resurrection with Christ, was to enable us henceforth to walk in newness of life. The noble theologian Charles Hodge summarized, there can be no participation in Christ's life without a participation in His death. If we didn't die with him, we can't live with him. We had to die with him. And we cannot enjoy the benefits of his death unless we are partakers of the power of his life. We must be reconciled to God in order to be holy, and we cannot be reconciled without thereby becoming holy. See, it all has to work together. You see how it works together? God makes sure it works together. There's not a broken line in this perfect thing that God has created that he calls his children. Amen. He has equipped us to be the kind of people he calls us to be. That'd be kind of mean to equip us, to call us something and not equip us to be able to respond as we ought to be, or have the tools or the knowledge to respond to what he wants us to be. That wouldn't be a very kind king or judge, but God is loving and merciful. And he has gone above and beyond as we read the Word of God, as we study on it. We can't imagine the concepts even reading them. We can grasp what we're reading, but the depth of it gets away from us because it's so glorious what God has done for you and I. As Christ's resurrection life was the certain consequence of his death as a sacrifice for our sin, so the believer's holy life in Christ is the certain consequence of his death to sin in Christ. So you see that? He no longer sins. He no longer desires to sin like he once did without Christ. There's something changed in him. There's a newness in his life. Newness translates keros, which is a Greek word, which refers to newness of quality and character. So now we have quality and character, which we didn't have before. Now we might have been a character before. This is not the kind of character we're talking about. He is giving us character. And when we talk about somebody's character, we're really, most of the time, hopefully, giving somebody a compliment. He or she has really good character. We're talking about how that person acts, who they are. Character speaks to what I am. Am I lining up with what I confess to say I am? My character should show that. You should see Christ in me and in the way I do things. If there's not, there's a disconnect and there's something wrong, you should love me enough to pull me to the side and say, I don't see Jesus in what you just did, Brother Joe. As Christ's resurrection life was a certain consequence of his death as a sacrifice for our sins, so the believer's holy life in Christ is the certain consequence of his death to sin in Christ. Newness translates keros, which refers to newness of quality and character, not neos, which refers merely to newness in point of time. Not exactly sure what he's saying there. Just as sin characterized our old life, so righteousness now characterizes our new life. We're going to be characterized by something. If we're sinners, it's sin and a sinful life. If it's the new life, it will be characterized by righteousness and holiness. We are said to receive a new heart in Ezekiel 36:26. A new spirit, Ezekiel 18:31. A new song, Psalms 43. And a new name, Revelation 2:17. We are called a new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature in Galatians 6:15, and a new self in Ephesians 24, look what wondrous things God has done for you and I.
Amen.
How can we not serve Him
Amen.
In the newness of life? Continuing to affirm the truth that this union with Christ in His death brings new life and also inevitably brings a new way of living, Paul says, for if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. In other words, as an old life died, so a new one was necessarily born. Bishop Handley Mole said this, and we'll quit. We have received the reconciliation that we may now walk not away from God as if released from a prison, but with God as His children in His Son. Because we are justified, we are to be holy, separated from sin, separated to God, not as a mere indication that our faith is real and that therefore we are legally safe, but because we were justified for this very purpose, that we might be holy unto God. There it is. Why did He do all that? Why did He go to all that great depth? And that's just some of it. We're going to talk some more about some of it. To what He's done. We see it. We explain it piece by piece. And we see it together. And then we're told in the Bible, why did He do all that? Because we're to walk in newness of life. What is walking in newness of life to a Christian? That's walking in holiness. Be ye holy as the Lord is holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. God has created us through His precious Son and through His life in us to be holy unto Him. And this is what we're to do. And so may we be doing it, bringing Him glory to His name, praising Him for all the things, great wondrous things. These are marvelous things. You go back and you reread that and you think, what great things God has done. And people say there's not a God. And you read such marvelous things. No one could ever think of something to even put in a book that would be fictional. This sounds so marvelous is what God has done. It's the book of truth. Everything He says in it, we can read and try our understanding better. The Holy Spirit says, I'll lead you in the way of all truth. He says, ask me, you know, invite me in, come here, and every day ask to be filled with me, and I'll lead you in the way of all truth, and I'll teach you what God has made you so that you can serve Him in the way that He desires to be served. That's the God that we serve. God help us to understand that. That is my prayer for Christ's sake.